The United States and the United Kingdom recently carried out their 8th round of strikes against targets in Yemen that they claim are being used by Yemen's Ansarullah, known in the West as the Houthis, to threaten maritime navigation in the Red Sea. Now, since Israel began its deadly incursion into Gaza on October 7th of last year, Yemen's Ansarullah has carried out a de facto campaign of targeted sanctions against Israeli economic interests, targeting ships traveling through the Red Sea that it says are tied to Israel. Ansarullah's campaign stands out in the region as it is being carried out, while neighboring Arab countries have largely stayed out of the fray, if not directly supporting Israel's bloody campaign. Now, Ansarullah officials have repeatedly stated that the goal of their blockade is to pressure Israel into halting its assault on the besieged Gaza Strip, a deadly campaign that has claimed the lives of over 25,000 people and has left over 63,000 injured, most of them women and children. Now, Ansarullah officials say that their blockade against Israeli interests is working, and indeed, major ocean carriers have suspended Red Sea and Suez Canal transport, instead sailing around Africa, creating a significant delay and supply bottlenecks and costing the Israeli economy billions. When asked by reporters if U.S. strikes on Yemen were working to stop Ansarullah's blockade, this is what President Joe Biden had to say.
Are the airstrikes in Yemen working?
Well, when you say working, are they stopping the Houthis? No. Are they going to continue? Yes.
Now, joining Mint Press to discuss the Ansarullah blockade and escalating tensions with the United States is senior political official and spokesperson for Yemen's Ansarullah, Muhammad al-Bukhaiti. Bukhaiti has held his position since 2014, when the failed U.S.-backed Saudi campaign to dislodge Ansarullah from power began. Mr. Bukhaiti, thank you for joining Mint Press. Tell me, what are Ansarullah's military objectives in the Red Sea with these naval blockades?
The objective of our military operations in the Red Sea is to compel Israel to cease its crimes of genocide in Gaza and allow the entry of food, medicine, and fuel to its people. Therefore, these operations are ethical in nature, and we affirm to everyone that we only target ships associated with the Zionist entity, not with the intention of sinking or seizing them, but rather to divert them from their course in order to increase the economic cost on the Zionist entity as a pressure tactic to stop the crimes of genocide in Gaza. We do not target any other country, but if anyone aggresses against Yemen, we must respond in kind.
The United States announced this week that it was relisting Ansarullah, who the U.S. refers to as the Houthis, as a terrorist organization. This move was reversed by the Biden administration last year. What does Ansarullah make of this designation, and what effects will this have on Ansarullah carrying out actions in support of Gaza?
The United States' classification of Ansarullah as a terrorist group is evidence of its weakness and failure. This decision isolates the U.S. from playing any role in the future, not only at the Yemeni level, but also at the regional level. Ansarullah represents today the Yemeni state and the will of Yemeni people. They also represent the will of all Arab and Islamic peoples and all freedom-loving people around the world who seek to halt the crimes of genocide in Gaza. Consequently, the one who will lose from such a decision is the United States, which claims to be a mediator but has disrupted all the solutions we were about to reach. Therefore, this classification will not harm us and will not affect our operations against the Zionist entity, as they will continue regardless of the sacrifices it may cost us.
Since Ansarullah began its blockade of maritime traffic connected to Israel months ago, the U.S. and its allies have claimed that the move is a threat to the freedom of navigation. How does Ansarullah select its targets in the Red Sea? And have countries that are not cooperating with Israel been able to use the Red Sea ship lanes without any problems?
We affirm to everyone that we only target maritime navigation associated with the Zionist entity, and we do not target any maritime movement of any other country. It is well known that the United States and Britain have announced since the beginning of our clashes with the Zionist entity their interception of many Yemeni missiles and drones. This was not their right because our operations are ethical. However, we exercised patience and did not target American forces or U.S. interests. But after they directly attacked Yemen, whether through direct assaults against Yemeni naval forces or striking the depth of Yemeni territory, resulting in the martyrdom of several Yemeni armed forces personnel, we began retaliatory operations. We had warned the United States and Britain that any aggression against Yemen would be met with targeting their military forces and interests wherever we can reach them. Therefore, targeting a number of U.S. or British commercial ships comes as a reaction to their aggression against Yemen, especially since we have previously announced every operation before carrying it out. Whether it was warning Israel about the consequences of continuing to commit mass killings or warning the U.S. and Britain regarding any military targeting of Yemen.
Earlier this month, the U.S. and U.K. claimed to have targeted over 30 locations in Yemen with more than 150 missiles launched from the air, ships, and submarines. What has been the impact on the ground from these attacks? Are they causing damage? And what are they actually hitting? Have any Yemeni civilians died in these attacks?
The U.S. operations have no impact on the air and missile forces because the American-British aggression did not start today. But rather, in 2015, it was an indirect aggression through Saudi Arabia and the UAE. But the warplanes and weapons were U.S. and U.K. made. Also, those who supervise these operations, whether in target identification or logistical support for those fighters, were under U.S. and British supervision. Therefore, we have already taken all precautions to preserve our missile and air forces. When we began our operations against the Zionist entity, we took additional precautions. Therefore, the impact of these strikes on our forces is very limited, except for the ability to kill a number of naval and land forces personnel. However, these operations will not deter us from continuing our military operations with the aim of stopping the crimes of genocide.
The Pentagon has stated that despite the U.S. bombing Yemen, that Washington is not at war with Yemen. What is your reaction to this statement?
The reason behind the U.S. declaring that they are not at war with us is their realization that their operations against Yemen are unethical. Therefore, they are trying to downplay the significance of their aggression against Yemen, fearing the reactions of the Arab, Islamic, and international public opinion because their military operations in Yemen are unethical. Additionally, there is significant media blackout in the U.S. and U.K., English-speaking media, to prevent our perspective from reaching the American and British people, as the majority of them support putting an end to the crimes of genocide in Gaza.
There has been talk in U.S. political circles of escalating attacks on Yemen, and you are on the record saying that Yemen has selected a set of targets that depends on U.S. escalation and international stances towards Gaza. Is Ansarullah prepared for a ground battle against U.S. forces if that were to happen? And how will Yemen retaliate if the U.S. continues to escalate its attacks?
When we review the military interventions in Yemen against us, we find that America has emerged as the loser while we come out stronger. In 2004, President Bush pushed former Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh to launch an aggression against us in Sa'dah province, known as the First War, followed by six wars. This was done under American guidance and support. Without that American foolishness, the Yemeni people would not have been able to carry out the 2014 revolution, which resulted in the expulsion of the U.S. ambassador and Marine forces from Sana'a and withdrawing Yemen from the U.S. alliance, joining the Axis of Resistance. Also, when America committed another foolish act by indirectly attacking Yemen in 2015 through its proxies in the Middle East, it only strengthened us. Without that foolishness, Yemen would not have been able to play such a significant and noble role in supporting our brothers in Gaza. Therefore, the Americans and the British will regret their recent aggression against Yemen because we come out stronger from every aggression and every strike. This is because we operate within the framework of divine guidance and we are confident in achieving victory. America was supposed to learn from its previous experiences and strive to stop the crimes of genocide in Gaza instead of seeking to escalate the conflict.
According to U.S. Navy officials, two U.S. Navy SEALs recently went missing while conducting operations near Yemen. The U.S. claims that they drowned while boarding a ship carrying weapons into Yemen. What is Ansarullah's position about their deaths and the operation that they were carrying out?
Who follows the American statements regarding the clashes in the Arabian and Red Sea finds them contradictory and often inaccurate. This is a result of the surprise faced by the U.S. and British forces due to the Yemeni advancements in missile and military capabilities. Additionally, they are embarrassed from engaging in a battle to protect the perpetrators of genocide crimes. We previously announced a strike on an American warship, but we were unsure of human casualties. However, after the U.S. declared the loss of two soldiers, it seems to be a consequence of those strikes. Regardless of the reason, America's loss of two soldiers is ultimately a result of its involvement in the aggression against Yemen, without which those soldiers wouldn't have been killed.
In most cases, Yemen's Ansarullah movement is described by Western politicians and Western media as an arm of Iran receiving weapons and funding from the Islamic Republic. How do you respond to these claims, and what purpose do you think this description serves?
America's goal in claiming that Iran is supplying us with weapons is to mislead global public opinion. The focus should be on the ongoing genocide committed today in Gaza and the oppressive blockade leading to today's famine. The question is, who supports and protects the perpetrators of these crimes and who seeks to stop them? This is the question the world should be asking. The dispute of where our weapons come from or where America gets its weapons is a marginal issue. The crucial matter is whether we use these weapons for ethical purposes. Does America use its weapons for ethical goals or not? That is the question that should be raised, because highlighting marginal issues to overshadow the core matter ultimately serves the unethical and inhumane American-British policy.
Earlier this week, you published a letter to the people of Western countries in which you said Ansarullah is not hostile to the American or British people, but rather to the ruling Zionist gang that takes advantage of the capabilities of Western countries. You asked the citizens of those countries to act to restore their humanity. What did you mean by this, and what message do you have to the citizens of Western countries who are opposed to the war actions of their governments?
We reiterate every time that our hostility is not towards the American or British people, but rather against the ruling Zionist elite in Washington and London, which controls US and British decisions and influences the decisions of many Western and other countries. This ruling Zionist gang has caused numerous tragedies from countries in South America and the West all the way to Asia and the East, and even in Europe. What is happening today in Ukraine is the result of misguided US policies aimed at expanding NATO and encircling Russia. These policies affect not only other countries, but also the American people themselves, as America has lost many of its soldiers in unethical wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries. For instance, it has become clear to everyone that the reasons for the occupation of Iraq were false, based on the pretext of chemical weapons and the presence of Al-Qaeda, where it was proven that there were no weapons of massive destruction. However, that war resulted in the deaths of millions of Iraqis and many American soldiers. Therefore, the policy of the ruling Zionist elite in Washington and London has negative impacts on the stability, safety, and security of the world.
Since 2014, Yemen has endured nearly a full decade of war being waged against it by the world's largest militaries, including the United States, Britain, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. Today, Saudi Arabia is bombing Yemen again, and the United States and the UAE carry heavy influence and power in southern Yemen. And the U.S.-backed Saudi blockade has resulted in 23 million people starving. What does Yemeni liberation look like to you?
For us, we believe it is necessary to have a Yemeni-Yemeni dialogue in order to build an inclusive internal political process that accommodates all parties on the condition of restoring Yemen's sovereignty and independence and the withdrawal of all foreign forces from Yemen. Recently, the balance of power has started shifting in favor of Yemen at the expense of the aggressor countries, including Saudi Arabia and the UAE, which is why they accepted a ceasefire, and after the ceasefire ended, we entered a phase of de-escalation. Despite Yemen still suffering from the blockade and the dominance of USA and its allies over Yemen's oil and gas resources, depriving Yemen from benefiting from them as they do in Syria and Iraq, the seizure of Yemen's oil and gas wealth has had a negative impact on the Yemeni economy and caused great suffering and a severe famine, with the U.S. being the primary culprit. However, today the Yemeni people have united after the U.S.-UK aggression became direct, and if Yemen was able to withstand in the face of 17 countries' aggression while being divided, it is even stronger when facing this aggression unified. We are optimistic that a Yemeni solution is just around the corner, as even our political opponents have supported the military operations of the Yemeni army, whether in the depths of Israel or in the Red Sea and the Arabian Sea.
During the formation of its latest coalition, the United States put pressure on Egypt to join the coalition to bomb Yemen under the pretext that Ansar Allah's operations in the Red Sea threaten maritime navigation in the Suez Canal. What is your message to the Egyptian government and its military?
It is essential for everyone to realize that the USA and its allies are the ones threatening navigation and ship safety. They are the ones imposing blockades on Yemen, Syria, and Iran by military force. They were the first to target commercial ships, as they have bombed numerous Yemeni commercial vessels. The most recent incident occurred a year ago when they targeted a Yemeni container ship off the coast of Jeddah, leaving it ablaze for 9 days until it sank. In that incident, Saudi Navy officers even posted videos mocking the sinking and burning of the Yemeni ship. As we have stated before, we only target navigation related to Israel, and this does not negatively affect the Egyptian economy because most of these ships are headed to the port of Eilat. Additionally, the UAE uses Eilat port to export its oil through pipelines transporting oil from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and of course, this has an impact on the Suez Canal. Therefore, our military operations will be beneficial for Egypt in the future. The main cause for changing the course of many shipping lines through Bab al-Mandab Strait now is the American interventions that have destabilized security in the Red Sea. Furthermore, the U.S. has detained many ships that have no relation to Israel and which we have no objection to using for Bab al-Mandab. However, the U.S. does this to pressure countries, including Egypt, to involve them in the aggression against Yemen because America realizes that it cannot decisively win the battle with only British support. Their unethical stance drives them to involve many countries in the war. Regarding, we advise all countries not to get involved in the aggression against Yemen because it will be their lose. After the U.S.-British aggression, America is now unable to use the Red Sea for commercial purposes due to the fear of its ships being targeted in retaliation for its aggression. Hence, we urge other countries not to intervene as we are committed to protecting and securing their commercial vessels.
With the announcement of many military operations coming from Iraq and Lebanon against Israeli ports and in conjunction with Ansar Allah operations in the Red Sea, is there joint coordination for these operations to form a stifling siege against Israel with the aim of stopping the war in Gaza?
What unites us with the resistance axis countries is the cause of liberating Palestine and confronting American and Western dominance in the region, and this is a just and honorable cause for us. There is coordination among the Axis countries and the resistance, but each country's decision is independent. Therefore, we notice variations regarding the level of involvement of each country, from the resistance axis in supporting our brothers in Palestine. However, the American aggressions, whether in Yemen, Iraq, or Syria, will ultimately lead to an expansion of the conflict.
What is the role of Saudi Arabia and the UAE in the ongoing war in Gaza?
Anyone who follows the statements of Saudi officials as well as Saudi and Emirati media, whether official or unofficial, finds that they sympathize greatly with the Zionist entity, which is extremely unfortunate. They consider Israel's defeat as their own defeat and view Israel's victory as their own. This is natural because these entities are similar to Israel as they were either planted or established by Britain and are protected by America. Therefore, they are the same as Israel. However, the Saudi and UAE governments no longer represent the will of their people. As for our position, it is clear. We say to them that we know they sympathize with the countries of aggression, but we warn them from getting involved in the aggression against Yemen again, or even providing any practical assistance to US or British forces. If they did so, they will become targets for our missile and air forces. Especially since they now know that our defensive capabilities have significantly evolved compared to the past. We have exercised much patience after the prolonged period of de-escalation and procrastination in implementing the agreement reached between the Yemeni parties.
Did China and Russia have an active role in the war in Gaza? And what is your comment on the Chinese and Russian statements in the Security Council?
The Chinese and Russian stance regarding war in Gaza is positive. However, the United States and its allies often use their veto power, which hinders the role of the Security Council in taking any positive action. The United Nations is also unable to effectively address the issue of stopping the crimes of genocide in Gaza. Therefore, the Chinese and Russian positions are positive, and we appreciate their stance.